Well, it is a blessing for me to be back the Bible Way once again. We appreciate the Lord allowing us to come. Appreciate the invitation and church here. And we're glad for each one that's present in the service tonight. I'm sure you've enjoyed the good singing and the good fellowship in the Lord. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. The Bible says it's like the precious ointment. It's poured on Aaron's head and run down on his beard and down the skirts of his garment. And that's the way it ought to be tonight. We ought to be glad and thankful and praising God that we're saved and saved for good. So it's a blessing to be here. Appreciate you being in service tonight. Now let's open the Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 2, if you would please. And I hope you will pray that the Lord will use us. Appreciate all the preacher friends being here tonight. It's always good to get together with folks of like precious faith, especially preachers of like precious faith. Yeah. Preachers that plan to stay with the old time way, you know, and just keep on keeping on until the Lord comes. And we're not sure how long that's going to be, but it must be soon. And the Lord's going to come, and we are looking for the blessed hope. Thank God for the hope we have that Jesus will come and receive us unto himself, and we're looking forward to that. Stand with us if you'd like to, please, just a moment. In Luke chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 8 and read three or four verses here. Bring you a little message the Lord's dealt with the heart about, and I hope it can be a blessing to you. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Our Father, we're grateful for the word of God. We thank you it's forever settled in heaven. Thank you, Lord, you give it to us and have preserved to this present moment of time. Thank you for this church that's open door we have here to try to proclaim the word of God tonight. We pray that you'd be upon us. Give us that special touch, Lord, it takes to preach. Open our hearts and minds and understanding, Lord, to the truth tonight. Edify and build up the saints of God. Revive us again, Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Thank you for this good church here. We pray that you'd give them the desires of the heart. Save sinners for thy glory. We humbly and sincerely pray in Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. My thought tonight is some things that brings great joy. Here in verse 10, this angel said unto the shepherds, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And of course, I think that was great joy that Jesus was coming. It was a promise fulfilled from the Old Testament that Jesus would come. And I've said this many times. I believe Christ came the first time right on time. I believe he died right on time. He resurrected right on time. He went back to heaven right on time. And he'll be back on time. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If many men draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. And I reckon that means keep on believing. Amen. I've been a believer ever since I believed. I believed in the Lord almost 56 years ago, and I've been believing ever since I believed. Now, sometimes my faith got a little weak, you know. Sometimes I wasn't up on cloud nine, but I'm glad I've been a believer. And the Bible said in John 3:18, he that believeth in Christ is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the Lamb of the only begotten Son of God. So if you're an unbeliever, you're not going to be lost. You're already lost. Unbelief is not weakness. And unbelief is not ignorance. Unbelief is willful rejection and rebellion against light. So you're either a believer or an unbeliever. You believe in the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, the bodily resurrection, the ascension, the priesthood work of Christ. Do you believe that? I'm glad I believe that tonight. Praise God. I've been believing that a good long while. And the more liberals comes along, and I think liberals are sanctified word for liars. Amen. And you know, we're not liberals. We're not liberals. Enoch was not a liberal. And Enoch was not lame. He just kept on walking. In a problem time, too. It was a terrible time in his day. Somebody said, "We're looking bad now, ain't it, Brother Mitchell?" That's according to which way you're looking. If you're looking around, it's looking bad. If you're looking back, it's looking worse. But if you're looking up, it's looking pretty good. And by the way, you're told to look up. And I'm talking about great joy. Some things that brings great joy. You know, it's the Lord's will that we have joy. Joy unspeakable. You know, Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, he said, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now listen to me carefully. I'm firmly convinced that more sinners want to get saved when more saved people get filled with joy. You can lose your joy. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 51 and verse 12. He'd messed up, you know. And he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Restore unto me. That's what we need, a restoration. A restoration of joy in our heart. And joy is not fun. They come out a few years ago. It's fun being saved. Fun's a worldly word. It's what you have at a game. When the game's over, the fun's over. Joy is what you have being saved. Anybody notice that little breeze coming through there? See, if you're not careful, you believe what them TV preachers say. You have to watch that. The Lord gives us joy in our hearts. And Peter said it's joy unspeakable. It's too much to explain. You can't really explain it. But you can lose it. And I think a revival is a refreshing, a restoration, a returning of great joy. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10 said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Show me a joyful Christian, I'll show you a pretty strong Christian. Show me somebody that's always defeated and depressed, talking about bad things. And there's a lot of bad things going on. We could preach the entire message a whole week about bad things. But I got some good news in bad times. The gospel's not changed any. Jesus is not about to push the panic button. Everything's right on time. We're victims of the time. So just look up and quit worrying about what politicians is doing. You can't believe what politicians say anyway. It's kind of like an old fellow said about a fisherman. He said, "There's one way when you know a fisherman's telling the truth." The fellow said, "How's that?" He said, "When he said the other fisherman told a lie." So that's about right. Help us, Lord. The shepherds, you know, the shepherds there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Listen, when John the Baptist, the shepherds here had great joy when Elizabeth was talking to Mary and found out about the babe Christ being conceived and going to bring forth her son. Even John the Baptist shouted before he was ever born. Leap for joy. One fellow told me, he said, "I don't believe in that shouting. You don't have to tell us, it shows up on you. You're going to do what you believe in." Now, I know it's all not a shout, but I know some of it is. Now, there's a lot of wildfire. A fellow said to me the other day, he said, "I'm afraid of this wildfire." I said, "Don't worry about that. We got plenty of ice tickets to put it out." So now to worry about wildfire. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. And we live in a time of no fear and no fire. And amen, not much forward going. May God help us to have great joy. Is it in 1 John chapter 1, I think, verse 4? "These things have I wrote unto you, that your joy might be full." God wants you not only to have joy, he wants you to have full joy, great joy. "This is the message we've heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and know not the truth. But if we walk in light, as he light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Listen, if you're cleansed from your sins, if you know you're saved, if you know your name's written in heaven, you ought to be shouting hallelujah to God. Jesus said to rejoice because you know your name is written in heaven. One fellow said to me, he said, "When was your name written in heaven?" I said, "I don't know. But I know when I found out it's there." Now, I wouldn't argue the point with you. I don't know if somebody's up there recording all the time. I don't know. I just know I found out my name was up there. And since my name is up there and I know about it, it's okay for me to rejoice because my name is written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Well, if it is, you're supposed to be rejoicing about that. May God help you. Not only the birth of Christ brings great joy, but the resurrection of Christ. Matthew 28 and verse 8. The angel said, fear ye not. You know, a lot of people are filled with fear. They're afraid. They saw the tomb was empty, and when the angel descended and the stone is rolled away, he said, fear not, and go quickly. Go quickly, and you go out there and tell his disciples that he's not here. He done resurrected. He's not here. They're looking for a dead Christ. Listen, he's very much alive. So they departed quickly. Here's what they did now. And they run and with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. Hey, don't be afraid. He's risen. When he got up from the dead, he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. He said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I'm he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore, have the keys of hell and death. He won't be dying anymore. And I'm glad there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and he ever lives. He ever lives to make intercession for us. You don't have to go to Rome to find the head. We don't have to pray to a priest through a knothole Sunday morning. We got one high priest appears in the heavens in the presence of God for us right now. Praise God. I'm glad he's our high priest. He is tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. On the basis of that, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Jesus knows our frame. He knows we're in a foreign land. He knows we're pilgrims and strangers. He knows the weakness of our being. So he makes intercession for us. Praise God. And he told us not to sin. Now, I've been accused of preaching perfection. I plead guilty. I'm supposed to preach perfection. Yeah. You talk about perfection in the flesh? Yes. I'm supposed to preach perfection in the flesh. Nowhere in the Bible said it's okay for you to sin. He said, don't sin. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Little children, these things are just to sin not. But if any man sin, he don't kick you out. He said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. You don't have to look any further. God's totally and completely satisfied with the work Jesus Christ did at the cross. God ain't looking for anything else. Christ's work, totally and completely satisfied God. And I've said this over and over again. You have mercy extended to you because divine justice has been satisfied. And now God's mercy reaches for you. And God's mercy lasts forever. God's mercy endures forever. Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. Grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve. So we obtain mercy and find grace to help us. I say, praise God. You ought to have great joy because of that. He raised the third day. You glad of that? That's happy. They're filled with great joy when they found out Christ rose from the dead. And I'm glad that he resurrected. I'm glad that he died, but he didn't stay dead. I often say this, if just his life and his death, you wouldn't be saved. It took Christ's life, it took his death, and it took his resurrection to save you. Now that is right. And I'll say this humbly and very carefully. It didn't only take his death. Somebody had to live and keep the law. There had to be a just person to bring the unjust persons to God. So Christ was a just person. He is born of the law, lived the law, and kept the law. So now the law is satisfied. That's why if you're saved, you're not of the law. Not even part of the way of the law. Why? Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, not by us, but in us. Amen. What the law could not do, because it's weak to the flesh, God sent his own son, like some sinful flesh, and forced him, condemned, confessed, that the rights of the law might be fulfilled in us. So as far as God's concerned, if you're saved, there's never been anything wrong with you. God forgot that you ever sinned. Some of y'all are looking like you don't believe that. I mean, if he washed it all away, if he put it behind his back, have laid all of our sin on Christ, and if Christ was made to be sin for us, and God judged his son under the law and imputed our sin to his son, and Christ stayed on the cross till he fully and totally paid the price and satisfied justice, then when you receive Christ, God receives you, and washes all your sins away. And as far as he's concerned, you've never even been a lawbreaker. You're lifted above the law and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why God wants your joy to be full. He wants your joy to be full. Don't you just barely get saved. A lot of people say, well, as long as I make it in. Oh, no. You ought to want abundant entrance. You ought to be shouting, waiting on him to shout. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Dead in Christ going to rise first. They don't teach in the Baptist church is the right church. It plainly says the dead in Christ will rise first. And the living saints shall be changed and caught up together with him to meet the Lord in there. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words, these sayings. So we're going to go up. The living saints are going to say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Resurrected saints are going to say, oh, grave, where is thy victory? Death will be swallowed up in victory. I like it, don't you? Have you been raised with him? He raised us up together. Made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Amen. For by grace you are saved through faith, not in order of yourselves, the gift of God. Not of works, that any man should boast. But at the same time, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You're not saved by works or part of works, but you're not saved without works. You're saved unto good works. Is it Galatians 5 and verse 6? In Christ Jesus, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. So faith works because love's behind it. If your faith don't work, it's a dead faith. There might not be much works, but there'll be some works if your faith is real. And this bill of goods that we've been sold the last 60 years, you know, that you come forward to Baptist Church and answer three questions and think you're saved forever and don't ever come back to church, hey, the Bible knows nothing about that. You can't get joined to the Christ and not get joined to the church. Them folks that got joined to Christ in Acts chapter 2, they was together with the other believers. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Didn't have to have gimmicks to try to get them down aisle. They gladly received the word of God and they were baptized. The same that were added unto them. About 3,000 souls. So when they got added to Christ, they got added unto them. Is everybody getting that? A lot of people cussing the church. You say, well, there's a lot of things wrong with the church. Well, there's things wrong with Walmart. You still go there, don't you? They got a lot of Chinese stuff and you go there. Amen. You know why we got problems with the church? We got people. Wasn't for me and you, there wouldn't be no problem. That is right, ain't it? Yeah, you and me, we're the problem. What we need to do is plead guilty to being the problem and quit thinking somebody else is the problem. You will never have full joy as long as you think the other fellow's to blame. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall live me from the body of this dead? Oh, if I can get myself lined out pretty good, I won't feel near self-righteous. It makes me feel better to think you're worse than me. Don't make you feel a little bit better if you think somebody else is done worse than you. You know, you'd be surprised people think it's not even sin unless the prosecutor prosecutes it. In other words, now in the Baptist churches, they think if it's not selling drugs or taking drugs or drinking liquor or driving drunk or something like this. You know, really, a lot of folks think envy and strife and hatred and animosity and all these, you know, quenching the spirit and all that stuff, sins of the spirit, that's just bad as sin as drinking whiskey. Of course, you wouldn't acknowledge that because you can get away with that because we can't see it. Now, if you used to get drunk, somebody catch you, you'd come up here and want forgiveness for that. But you sit in the church house with an old grumpy spirit judging somebody else. And you let on like there's nothing wrong with you. Smile right there. God loves you. You ought to have full joy. You say, why don't I feel right? Because you won't do right. Your feelings based on what you do. Salvation's by faith. Amen. But if I don't do right out there, I'm not going to feel right in here. Amen. When I feel right in here, it's because I'm trying to do right out there. I better go on. I see that's about to kill the meeting. Now, you can read in Acts chapter 8, you know, they're scattered abroad because Stephen had got killed for preaching. It amazes me when I read the Bible how short a time some of them folks live that preaches, and yet we can preach 50 years and nobody bothers us. You know, John the Baptist preached 6 months and they cut his head off. Jesus preached 3.5 years and they crucified him. Stephen preached a little hard message during Acts 6 and 7 and they stoned him to death. You and me run around here talking about what preachers we are, and the devil don't even know we're saved. Lord. You know, every time the devil hollers, boo. Somebody said, you know, one fellow told me, said, they voted me out of my church. Said, what would you do? I said, I'd shout. That's what he said to do. To catch a name out as evil, leap for joy. Grace your reward. At least you know you got a reward in heaven. Yeah. And so Stephen would preach here, and then they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word of God. And the Bible tells me that Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. You know a fellow's not preaching if he's not preaching Christ. He's just not preaching if he's not preaching Christ. The Bible's a book interwoven. And every chapter, every book, every context, every verse, Christ is a message. He's a message in the Old Testament. He's a message in the New Testament. He's a rock in a weary land. He's water in dry places. He's a manna in the wilderness. Praise God. He's the great I am in the burning bush. He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. He didn't have to come down here to get down here. He is down here before he ever come down here. He's always been. I say praise God. When he come down here, of course, he is manifest in the flesh, full of grace and full of truth. Now that didn't mean grace and truth hadn't been here before. It'd been here all the way back, but not the fullness of grace and truth. When Christ comes, he is full of grace and full of truth, personified grace and truth. He's the God-man. That's a great mystery, but we believe it. You'd be surprised people don't believe that. A lot of people think Jesus just, when he is born, they think that's the beginning of Jesus. I've seen people pray to poor little old Jesus. Listen, he's the great I am. He's God. God manifest in the flesh. He proved he is God by walking on the water. He made the water. He proved he is the resurrection and life when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And so down here in Samaria, Philip went down there and they received the word of God that Philip preached and started turning to the Lord, and great joy was in that city. You know, when a bunch of people start getting saved, it'll bring about great joy. I've been running over this country almost 50 years in revivals. In the last few years, we've lived to see a time when if a sinner comes to get saved and gets saved with the grace of God, even his mom and daddy and grandpa and grandma are not even stirred up about it. They stand and look like a big-eyed boy at a picnic. A lot of them won't even, you couldn't even get them down to the front to get on the knees and pray with him. Pray for them. Listen, you think they're saved? I don't know if they say they are, but if they are, they sure need their joy restored. They need a fire built in their bosom. Don't you think so? Praise God. God wants us to have joy, and he wants joy being unspeakable in our lives. Let other folks know about it. Yeah. Bible said Luke 15:7, likewise there's joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. If they're rejoicing over there, don't you think we need to be rejoicing down here? Amen. It rejoices their hearts over there when a sinner repenteth. Over one sinner that repenteth. You know, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall perish. One fellow said to me, he said, what do you think repentance is? I said, taking sides with God against yourself. Yes, sir. One fellow said, well, ain't it easy to get saved? I said, after you repent. I can prove it's hard to repent. You can't even hardly get people to repent that's already repented. Hardest thing us Christians have to do is repent. I'm letting that soak in a little. Did you know that'd cure all the churches if we get folks to repent? That'll cure all of my spiritual problems if I just repent. And that'll cure your problem if you repent. Now, a lot of people today, and I've been accused of being all kind of names, you could just thank them thank him up, whatever you could say. One fellow told me, he said, do you know what I heard a fellow say about you? I said, no. But whatever he said is secondhanded, because everything he thought of done been said. Hey. Saints and sinners both are commanded to repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere to repent. You remember when they went to denying the doctrine of repentance? Because it goes against the flesh. Somebody said, well, is it hard to get saved? That's, well, it's according to how you look at it. When you look at it from being a sinner, it's kind of hard because you've got a depraved mind. You got a depraved heart. You got a rebellious nature. You're falling into sin. Yeah. The devil tells you you can't do right. Yeah. Yeah. And the devil's against you getting saved. Right. But if you can never overcome that, say, just put up the white flag of unconditional surrender. Yeah. Repentance is a work of God in the heart. Yeah. It's not necessarily going forward in a church house, though that might go with it. Yeah. Repentance and faith and inseparable grace is working in the heart. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. You get sorry in your heart toward God that you've offended God's character. You've offended God's law. And you're such a no good rebel. See, it's pretty hard to acknowledge that. It is pretty hard to acknowledge that. It's hard for me to acknowledge that. Well, if I could have got saved without repentance, I'd have got saved without it. I couldn't get no peace without it. Hardest thing I ever done is come out publicly and take my stand with Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he's my Lord and Savior. Amen. But if your heart's ever broke and your will's ever crushed, the Lord crushes your will. See, repentance involves not only the intellect, not only the emotions, but the will of man. If you make a profession on an intellectual stirring or an emotional stirring in the testing time, you can't be found for the church. We got thousands of them around over the country. They went down forward under stirring in the service, and the stirring might have been real. The saints might have been real rejoicing. They were stirred up emotionally or intellectually. They went down forward and felt good because they was in a good service and thought that of salvation. Well, crying and feeling good is not religion. If I'd have been salvation, I'd have got plenty of it coming up because I'd do something bad. My mother whipped me and I'd cry and she'd quit and I'd feel better. Yeah. It takes more than that. Yeah. Your will must be turned to God. Yeah. If your will's never been crushed and touched by the Spirit of God and your will becomes his will. Yeah. Ain't that right? Yeah. See, that's why you have to watch it there. A lot of people's will's not involved. You'll never make an unconditional commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior until your will submits to him. Amen. When your will submits to him, he'll make you a new creature in Christ. Amen. Old things will pass away. No more whiskey drinking, poker playing, die shooting, women chasing, lottery ticket buying, going three-fourths naked. All that stops. Amen. All that stops. New man inside. You got the Holy Ghost inside. He not only guides you, he guards you. He gives you desire to go back and hear that preaching of the Word of God and that singing. You like to be around other saints of God. Help us, Lord. Great joy was in that city of Samaria because they give heed to the preaching of the Word of God. They believe what Philip preached. And I'll tell you another thing that brings great joy is hearing about other folks getting saved. Do you get joy because you hear about other folks getting saved? I'm glad Brother Henson told me about some folks getting saved down in Georgia. Praise God. Amen. I don't know who they are, but I know one day if they got saved, they're my brother and sister in the Lord. Amen. I think we'll rejoice because other folks get saved. Amen. Paul and Barnabas on going to Jerusalem, and they passed through Phoenix and Samaria. And declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, they told them, hey, the Gentile folks getting saved. You know, that's a mystery that's hid. The foundation of the world. And Peter didn't know it in Acts 2. Poor Campbellites are hung up in Acts 2. If you start Acts 2 out, they wouldn't even have a message. I think I told you what that fellow said one time. This little boy never had been to church much, and his parents wasn't able to go, and had a Campbellite preacher holding a meeting, gospel meeting, and the little boy went. And he got back home, and the dad said, did the preacher preach pretty good? He said, yeah, I guess so. He said, what did he preach about? He said he could take an axe and 238s and run everybody out of town. You know, you tear three or four passages out and get out of the water, and them folks wouldn't have a message at all. But Paul was declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And it caused great joy to all the brethren when they heard the Gentiles was coming in. See, that's the mystery hidden God, how God's going to graft in the Gentiles, make us one in the same body with the Jews, partakers of salvation through the gospel. And now the same Lord's rich unto all that call upon him. Ain't that a blessing? When Jesus Christ died, the middle waters broke down, the velvet temples rent in flame from top to bottom. And this is the only time since then that the gospel has been preached to everybody. See, back preceding the cross, when the Lord sent the apostles out in Mark 6 and Matthew 10, he said, don't go to Gentiles nor the Samaritans. Go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So first he was offered to Israel. They rejected Christ and crucified their king. When they did, now this mystery is revealed to Paul, and now we got in on this. And salvation is total and completely complete now. Ain't that a blessing? And it brought great joy to the hearts of these other folks when they heard of the conversion of the Gentiles. If you hear about somebody else getting saved, praise God a little bit. I think hearing about others get saved ought to bring great joy. Then the assurance of your salvation, you ought to have great joy about that. You know, you need assurance of your salvation. The Bible said, whom have you not seen, you believe. You heard about him, you never have seen him. But now you believe in him and you rejoice because that was joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Now the fruit of the Spirit manifests which are these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So God wants you to have joy. He told the Philippian believers, Paul told them, he said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, making requests for you with joy. When he thought about these other believers, like precious faith, and he remembered them. He said, I thank God that I can remember. You know, there's some things I can remember about folks in here. Good services we've had, places we've been, good meetings. I thank God upon every remembrance. Then he said, I'm making requests for you with joy. In other words, I'm thanking God that you're saved. I'm rejoicing in the Lord that you and me are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you and me can love one another. We can forgive one another. We don't have to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Is that right? It does grieve the Spirit of God if we don't forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, forgiven us. Is that Ephesians chapter 4? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed with redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, true forgiveness, you forgive others like God forgives you for Christ's sake. Somebody said, is that pretty easy to do? Well, it's pretty easy to do if you're right with God and want to stay right with God. You know, if you forgive as God, for Christ's sake, forgive you, that means you don't bring it up anymore. You forget it ever happened. Hey, I feel the Spirit of God oppressing me. You'd be surprised at the people if somebody really mess up when they're lost, you know, and just getting all kinds of situations. And they get saved, and folks always talking about, you know what they let me tell you what they done back yonder. You know what? You hadn't even forgiven them yet. Is that right? I don't care if he's robbed a bank or what he's done. Amen. Only reason you and me didn't rob banks, we're afraid we'd get caught. Amen. Don't you think that's right? Sure. I tell folks, I think this is right when common graces don't work. The nation's on a toboggan slide to hell. And common graces are God, one is God-given conscience. That's the ability to know good from evil. When these fellas don't know the difference in a man and woman marrying and same-sex marriage, that tells you their conscience is dead. Amen. That tells you common grace don't work. Yes, sir. Human government's a common grace God ordained to keep us from doing as bad as we might do. Yeah. See, I'd have done things a lot worse than I did if it had been for the judge and the sheriff and the deputies. I was afraid to get caught. And I knew what they'd do back then. That's been less than 100 years ago. But you know what? Don't work now. They got meth labs on every street. That's our biggest industry over at Jamestown now is making meth. Yeah. And all kind of drugs. Drug traffic is just, you know, that tells you that something's wrong with the system. Common grace is people don't fear. And a nation's going down at a breakneck speed when common graces don't work. That's why sinners don't have any fear. That's why you can't hardly get them to go to church and hear preaching. They don't fear God. They don't fear going to hell. They don't fear the wrath of God now. They make fun of it now. See, that's pretty new. That's about 30 years old. It's pretty new. The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom, not the love of God. The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. Ain't nobody cares much about getting saved. He's brought to fear God. That's why old timers preach the law first. They preach the law before they preach the gospel. The law is the criminal that's to bring us to Christ. Find out what's the matter with us. And then we can find out what Jesus did for us to cure us. And that brings joy about it, don't it? Amen. So have assurance. Paul, have you got assurance of your salvation? Paul said, hey, I know whom I believe. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed on him against that day. In other words, salvation is an unconditional commitment. It's a two-way commitment. You commit to Christ. Commit now is different than surrender. Commit means you yield to another. That's what happens in a marriage. In a true marriage, there's a two-way commitment. You agree to leave all other women and commit yourself to this one woman. She agrees to leave all other men. Commit herself to this one man. And if that's deep in the heart, most of the time there won't be any divorce. See what I'm saying? It's a commitment. Same way with Christ. Same way with salvation. It's a commitment. You commit. You forsake all others and commit. I know whom I believed. And he didn't say, I know in whom I believed. He said, I know whom I believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Against that day. And see, Paul never did do what we call go back on the Lord. He never did what we call get away from the Lord. See, that's terms we pick. That's unscriptural terms anyway. Phyllis said, well, I went back on the Lord. I said, where'd you go? I thought you believe he is in you to stay. Make his abode in you. If he's inside of you, you didn't go back on the Lord. If he's on the inside, you didn't get away from the Lord. You just thought you did. You lost your joy. You fell from your first love, left your first love, lost your joy, and you felt like you was away. Well, if you didn't feel like you was away, you never would come back. So what it is, Holy Spirit still there, but he's not manifesting himself because you're not walking the light. Don't you think that's right? Now, I'm not criticizing you for using those terms, but they're unscriptural terms. New Testament salvation is relationship. You get born, birthed into Christ, and Christ gets birthed into you, and that's it. That's it. You pass from death unto life. That don't mean you always do right, but that means you got the Spirit of God. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. Ain't no getting away. Ain't no getting away. Ain't no going back. He goes wherever you go. If you sidestep the will of God, your spirit's grieving, his spirit's grieving, you're miserable, and you get right with God. If you can go out there and live in sin and enjoy it, you're not saved. According to the scriptures. That's 1 John 3 and verse 9. That's what it says. I didn't write it in there. You know, don't you think a lot of people, you know, one fellow said, well, I'm a doubt now if I'm saved or not. I thought, Nate said, for you're not. One fellow said, well, he might be saved. I said, that's not going to get him lost because I doubt it. That's not going to get him lost. He needs to doubt it sometimes. Don't you think so? It might help us get right with God. It might help us come back and repent. Get our joy restored. Hey, folks, listen. We don't need to be satisfied with our joy not being full. We don't need to be satisfied with the status quo and basing it on numbers coming in. We think, well, we got a few more this Sunday than we had last Sunday. Everything going good? Not unless you're full of joy, it's not going good. See, you have to watch what you base it on. May God help us to have full joy. Does joy bubble up in your soul? Are you happy that you get to go to church sometimes? Have you been in a meeting lately where they couldn't stop the shouting between the church house and automobiles? Some of y'all never have been in that kind of meeting. You know, one fellow told me, he said, I was in a shouting meeting last Saturday night. I said, well, did you shout? He said, well, no. I said, well, you weren't in a shouting meeting. They was. You know, a lot of people, they want to be in a shouting meeting, but they never shout. You ever notice that? Shouting means make a loud vocal noise. It's okay if you say praise God good and loud every once in a while. After all, the Bible said, let everything have breath, praise the Lord. You might cause somebody to get awake, really. I've had people to jump over benches. They see somebody meet and get on, somebody shout back there. And one old fellow told me, he said, I've known that woman 40 years, and I ain't never known her shouting before. And it got him all stirred up because she shouted. Somebody might, you know, you can read the book of Acts through. All of you already know this. Almost every time somebody shouted in the book of Acts, somebody else got saved. Amen. You know that they're having a big meeting in Acts 2, and 3,000 got saved there. Peter and John is going over to the temple in Acts chapter 3, going over there to pray, Jewish temple. There's a lame man there asking alms. And of course, he didn't know these fellows as Baptist preachers. If he'd have known these Baptist preachers, well, he'd have known they didn't have no money. Said, silver and gold have I none. Said, so I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. His ankle bones receive strength. He went in the temple leaping and praising God. Amen. Peter's going over there to pray. Instead of praying, he preached to them, and about 5,000 got saved. Amen. Paul and Silas was singing praises unto God and praying, Acts 16. Not just singing praises. God sent an earthquake, waking the jailer. And he come in and call for a light, falling down. Don't go to Acts 16:31 first. Get the whole context. First he is awakened. Then he sprang in and called for a light. Then he fell down. Then he asked the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's ready then to believe. Because fellas got happy, singing praises unto God. Oh, you know what? The Lord's able. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us unto himself with exceeding joy before the throne of his glory. And I'm glad he's going to do that. He's going to do what he said. What we need to do now is do what we're supposed to do. You know, God's not going to do for me or you what we're supposed to do for ourselves. He told us in James 4 and verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God. See, he's not going to do that for you. You submit to God. Amen. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Amen. Said you draw nigh to God. That's, you do that. And God will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Now, as far as I know, that's the only time in the New Testament he calls saints sinners. In other words, he's saying to these saints here, because he back there in verse 4, he said, don't you know, you adulterers and adulteresses, spiritual adulterers and adulteresses, know not the friendship of this world's enmity with God. He'll be a friend of the world's God's enemy. That's right. Now, I know that's a Jewish epistle. I know that. I'm a spiritualizer right now. He told us, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from it, draw nigh to God, and God draw nigh to us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's outside holiness and inside holiness, both. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Let your joy be turned to heaviness. Your laughter to mourning. That's just what it said in there. That's kind of rough going there. I understand that. God's not going to do for us what we're supposed to do. See, sinners are going to get bothered about their sins when saints get bothered about their sins. Now, don't ever forget this. The reason sinners are not bothered is because saints are not bothered. When we get bothered about our sins, then we can be able to get bothered about our loved ones that sinners. And then we can agonize with God over them, and God will draw them in. Don't you believe that's right? We'll see them bothered. I've been at a lot of meetings, you know, and sinners come and go not bothered much. And a lot of time we try to, you know, drag them over our problems. But Just can't hardly do that. It just don't hardly work that way. I don't know why it works like it does, but I just know it does. When saints get bothered, sinners get bothered. Saints not bothered, sinners are not bothered. The reason we're not seeing saints saved from sin is because we can't get saints saved from self. As soon as saints get saved from self, sinners will get saved from sin. And I know I've been here. I know I'm run over time, but let me tell you something. Don't forget this. We didn't get all we need when we got saved. Yeah. We got all we need to get to heaven, but we're fighting a battle down here now. So we didn't get all we need to live a victorious life when we got saved. See, we're supposed to constantly be not drunk with wine, but be filled with spirit. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands. It's a constant, everyday walk in submission to the Lord. Everybody here agrees with that, don't you? How long has it been since you individually, now I'm not talking about folks around you, you just unconditionally submitted yourself as a Christian to the Lord? You said, Lord, not my will, thy will be. I want to draw nigh to you. Just as soon as you start trying to draw nigh to God, the devil will start trying to defeat you. That's what we need. You know, that'll bring revival. You talk about bringing revival. Revival's for saints, not sinners. Regeneration's for sinners. When saints get revived and refreshed and restored, sinners will start getting regenerated. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. They're going to come with a song. Appreciate your attention. Father, we pray that you'd honor the word tonight. Seal it up in hearts, Lord. Deal with our hearts, Lord. Challenge us, dear Lord, we pray. Give us judgment day honesty, Lord, tonight in the hearts. I don't know the need of hearts tonight. I know you know the need. I pray that we'd be able to see the need of our own selves. Lord, we'd be made willing in our heart and life to submit to you, draw nigh to you. Walk in your light, Lord. Help us, give us that burden to reach sinners, Lord, the perishing that's lost without God. There might be somebody here tonight, Lord, that's lost. This might be their night of salvation. Help us all, Lord, to do what you want us to do in this invitation. We'll be eternally grateful to you, we pray, in Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving. Amen.